back to our podcast.
Hey.
When you're ready. My name is Brianna Michonne.
I am Imani Abaye.
And we're so excited to have you guys back for this week's episode, How to Reclaim Your Power and Implement It into Your Self-Love Journey.
Period.
As always, we have to start with our herb of the day, which is
Chamomile. Some people call it the grand apple. It is good for protection, money drawing, good luck in gambling, protects children from bad dreams, and love drawing. And if you want to use it for a medicinal purpose, it is said to aid digestive issues, known for calming and assisting sleep. And I also use it, like, whenever I, like, have allergy problems or, like, a sore throat or anything like that, I'll drink some chamomile, and I feel like it kind of like lubricates your throat a little bit. With some honey and some lemon, it's perfect.
Yeah, I like mixing my chamomile with lavender because that's my sleepy potion.
Yeah, that's that will knock you out. Okay, for real. Definitely.
For this episode, we wanted to take a step back a little bit more, hi T'Challa, and introduce ourselves so you guys can know who we are and a little bit more about how we met and our relationship with each other.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to properly introduce myself, you guys. I am Imani Abaye. Some of you may know me as Nazuri. I still get asked that or approach as Nazuri. I used to have an Instagram account called Nazuri Looks. It had all of my photography stuff on it, some of my collage art when I was first starting. I kind of put the camera down for a little bit. I don't do it professionally anymore, but I still consider myself a photographer and I still shoot. And I'm still doing collage art. I love it so much. It's my favorite medium of just like artistry. I'm also known for being a medium as well. I've been doing that for about 5 years. It runs in my family. I've been a medium my whole entire life. I've always had the gift of sight. Again, it runs in my family on both sides, actually. And I just added being a doula to my belt of
careers,
magic. Like, I don't know. I'm a woman of many hands. What do they call it? Renaissance woman. So I am a doula, and I just learned that in my journey of being a doula that I will be 4 generations in as a doula. T'Challa, don't leave it alone. Well, whatever.
I let him have okay. it.
But 4 generations in, so that has been a very, like, extremely beautiful process and journey for me. And hopefully we'll talk about that further down the line.
Brianna Michonne, or B, or Brie. I have a couple different nicknames. But I am a photographer, visionary, and I'm also in brand strategy and development. And I recently just graduated from Columbia College Chicago with my photography degree. So, yeah, that's been a transition. So, as you guys may imagine, I am walking into adulthood for real this time.
Yeah.
For real this time. But I'm also in holistic work as well. Don't do it as, like, a job necessarily, but more for, like, me and self and my friends and family. So, yeah, we love the herbs.
She be reading people.
I be reading myself. I be reading my friends, too, when it's needed.
Yeah.
When it's needed, spirit talks. And what else? I don't want to, like...
She be singing sometimes, too.
Oh, yeah, I sing occasionally. And I play the bass occasionally. But these are more hobbies of mine.
But they're still, like, a part
it's
of
me.
Who you are.
Yeah, I've grown up in a very... musically inclined family, so that's always been a part of both of our lives.
Yeah.
Something that we relate on.
We definitely do. My dad is a trumpet player. He's a part of a known band in the city and around the world a little bit. Hypnotic Brass Ensemble. My grandfather is a pillar in the community. He actually pioneered the Afrocentric community in Chicago. His name was Phil Crayon. So I come from some musical inclined people too.
For sure.
I don't play any instruments, though, like Brianna. I sing a little bit in the shower. Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah. Me and my family be singing and playing instruments.
Yeah, she be singing.
I love the bass, though. But, yeah, I think that's pretty much us. Yeah. I feel like as we expand more on the episodes and you guys tune in more, you'll get a feel for who we are at heart and who our souls and spirits really are.
And what we represent.
Yeah, what we represent, how we conduct ourselves, how we show up in this world. And like always, we hope that it's a space for you to be able to receive something of benefit for your journey as you move forward. So, yeah, T'Challa is sitting here playing with the god dang string on my notebook. Gonna rip it off.
I thought you said he could play with
it. He could. Then he started doing too much. See, look at you. What is going on?
Here. He don't want it.
He just wants it. It's fine. It's hidden now.
Okay, so how did we meet? We were with Mutuals, and we didn't know each other, though, but they knew each other.
Yeah.
And, like, Brianna pulled up to get something or whatever, and I was like, wait.
Oh, yeah, I did pull up.
Yeah, you pulled up.
I did pull up.
And I
was
saw
by
your
myself,
hair.
Though.
Oh, okay. You were by yourself. I saw her hair, and our Mutuals introduced us, and I was like, oh, I don't know her, but I would like to know her, because I've seen her on
Instagram.
They
were shocked that we didn't know each other.
Yeah, like, they were like, y'all don't know each other? Like, no, we don't know each other. And then
we followed each other on Instagram.
We were already following each other on Instagram.
Yeah.
And
it just took a minute for us to hang out for real, though.
Yeah, maybe like a month or two.
Yeah.
A few months or so.
And then we planned like a photo, like a photo shoot.
We planned a photo shoot. A collaboration.
With some of our other close friends. Mm-hmm. And it was a really good day.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Like, it was a magical day.
We were just chilling, vibing. Definitely like good feminine energy.
Yeah.
For sure. And from then on, we just been locked in. It's so funny because we talk about how when we first met, we was with each other so much that we got tired of each other.
Yeah. Because my whole thing was, I remember I had just gotten out of a friendship that was very codependent. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to repeat those same cycles. And I think I was very transparent about that.
Yeah.
But I could have said it nicely. So that was my whole thing. I just didn't want to. I really liked you and really valued our friendship and saw it going somewhere. I just didn't want to repeat those same cycles and mistakes.
Yeah.
And me and that friend were trauma bonded. And it didn't feel that way. But at the time, I didn't know the difference.
Yeah. And I also could tell, like, her coming into my life or us coming into each other's lives, I can tell, like, this was a different friendship.
Yeah.
Like, this was a different, like, bond that I had never experienced. And I think it was something that I was so unfamiliar with that, like, it just felt like it was coming in real hard, real fast. And I just wanted to, like, abort mission immediately.
Yeah, it definitely
it was
intimidating.
Yeah,
it was intimidating.
Yeah, it was very intimidating. And, yeah, like, ever since then, though, like, we found the balance and what works with us, and which we'll get into more as we expand more on our relationships with friendships.
We'll be talking for hours.
Literally for hours.
We gotta get to the topic.
We just want to give y'all a taste.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. That's how we know each other.
For real. So for all the people who think that we're sisters.
We are sisters.
We're sisters.
I really feel like we're soulmates.
We just didn't come from the same coop.
I genuinely feel like we're soulmates. Like, your mom went to high school with my dad. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was just, there's a lot of, like, ways our lives mirror each other.
Mm-hmm. And not even, it's honestly, like, to me, I don't even care about it from the how our families know each other perspective.
Yeah,
it's more just about, like, how our lives literally reflect each other. Mm-hmm. They mirror each other.
She's an only child.
I'm an only child.
Like, different things like that.
For real. So we have the same, like, we pretty much have the same values.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, and
like, our elementary schools were in the same zip code.
I'm freaking weak. Bro, what is that?
We were by each other. We just didn't know.
Oh my god.
You know?
You are funny. But yeah, we both grew up only children, or still are only children, so I feel like finding that sisterhood and friendship is something that we relate heavily on, as well as, like, experiences, I guess, like, with our parents and, like, you know, how that dynamic shows up, being an only child and
I think we have different experiences when it comes to friendships, but for its own reasons, you know, like, yeah. That's just the things that we had to learn that happens to be different. But other than that, like, we definitely share very similar values.
100%.
In a lot of areas. In a lot of ways. Yeah, in many areas, so.
A lot of freaking ways.
Yeah. So, if you tuned in to the last episode, we talked about our past relationships and just our reflections of those past relationships, taking accountability, how we show up now in life, and the things that, like, we realized were problematic and that we needed to learn from a perspective of a girly who has been out of the relationship for about a year and a half probably now, and then from a girly who is fresh out of a relationship. So
5 months
counting down the days. <I'll scream. laughs> But yeah, and piggybacking off of that episode,
y'all, I crack myself up. I really do.
We wanted to tap into how to reclaim your power coming out of these relationships and being able to implement these things into your self-love journey.
Yeah.
Identifying when something no longer serves you. How do you do that, and what can that look like? Being able to acknowledge what you don't like.
That's
and when that shows up.
Coming up to me.
Yeah. Being able to identify what you do and don't like.
It's listening to that first voice in the mind that comes up mm-hmm. when you're about to make a decision. Mm-hmm. You have to recognize it and listen to it and trust it.
Because that's the real I am.
Yeah, that's the real I am. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it's going to lead you in a direction where you need to learn a lesson. Mm-hmm. And you have to be okay with that.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like it's definitely important to identify with something no longer serves you, because everything and everyone has a season and a reason, mm-hmm. and not everything is for the long run or for the long haul. I was
going
to say,
it's not going to flow naturally.
It's not. It's going to feel forced. It's going to feel pressured. You're always going to be second guessing it, because mm-hmm. something in your spirit knows deep down that this is no longer for you.
Yeah. If it just feels like you're forcing yourself to wake up, you're forcing yourself to smile, you're forcing yourself to communicate, it's not for you.
Mm-hmm. Or you feel like you can't communicate.
That too.
Like feeling like you're like stuck.
Walking
on eggshells. Mm-hmm. Like this is when there either needs to be a conversation had, or if there is a conversation had and it's not going somewhere, where you have to make a decision for yourself.
This is a quick tip. If you feel stagnant, you need to let something go.
Yep. Because there's an energy holding you there.
Yeah.
And unless you release it, you'll always be there. And that's why it is important to be able to identify when something doesn't serve you. Because if you prolong something being in your space longer than it's meant to or supposed to be, you're going to be blocking the things that could be there.
I have a great analogy.
What?
It's like a river flowing. There's mm-hmm. a big old boulder. I like that boulder.
A boulder. I like that boulder.
It's a big boulder just in the middle of it, and mm-hmm. the water's not flowing how it's supposed to. So at the end of the river, it's coming down like little droplets. Mm-hmm. It's not coming down.
It's not
down
its full potential.
Exactly. That's mm-hmm. because that boulder is right there.
Yep.
Even though it's a nice boulder, it has to be removed.
It's not a good boulder.
It's not a good boulder. It's not even a bad boulder. It's just not supposed to be there.
It just is. It's just a boulder.
Yeah.
And it's in a space that it's not meant to be in right now.
Exactly.
It's meant to be with its other rock and pebble buddies.
Exactly.
And that's okay.
Exactly.
So, yeah. As we move into, as we move out of identifying when something no longer serves you, when you do that, you have to be able to let go.
Yeah. And I know letting go is, like, one of those things that's easier said than done.
It really is.
And I feel like what helped me understand letting go, my therapist was like, you have to let it just be what it is.
Yep.
And, like, when she, like, reworded that, mm-hmm. it changed my whole perception of letting go. And I was like, oh, okay. That's what you meant.
Yeah.
Like, it literally, like, it was like a light bulb just went off. Because letting go, I'm a visual learner. So I'm, like, trying to think about me letting go of my emotions. I'm like,
yeah, like, how do you want me to do that?
How am I going
to
do that?
You want me to just not care?
Exactly.
It's like, no, but really it's just
letting it be.
Being okay with whatever the outcome is. Mm-hmm. Being okay with if it works out or if it doesn't work out, because that's the gamble that you take with anything, and you have to be okay with taking that gamble when you make decisions with anything in life.
It's really just allowing yourself to not have control.
Yes. Releasing the control of the things in your life.
Yeah.
And allowing them to show up and remove themselves and come in as need be.
Yeah.
And not when you think something is supposed to be, because there are a lot of times when we're in situations that we don't really understand in that moment. Mm-hmm. And later on in life, they come full circle when we have clarity and full understanding of something. So being okay with letting go is definitely important when you're trying to reclaim something in your life or reclaim your life.
Yeah, because you can't move forward if you got a lot of baggage.
Mm-hmm. And you can't move forward trying to control everything in your life, because there's always going to be a sense of anxiety around that. Mm-hmm. Because you can't control anything.
And then it's just like the song by Erykah Badu, like, you're literally taking all of that with you. And then how are you going to receive new information?
Exactly.
Experience new experiences.
That's why she said you're going to miss your bus.
Exactly.
Because you can't even fit all this stuff on the bus. And so the bus driver going to leave you. Because you can't even get on the bus. And that's where your next opportunity was coming.
Stuck.
Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's where your next opportunity was going. But you're trying to take all of this stuff with you when all of this stuff not supposed to be with you. You're supposed to have this one bag with you, but you want to bring all this other stuff with you.
And you feel that stuff. You feel all of that stress in your body. Mm-hmm. You really do.
And like, I love that song, actually, because...
Yeah, it's a dope song.
It's like, now you're thinking really about it. Holding bags, bro. Yep. I know. I'm a photographer. I be toting, toting them bags. Like, when you're holding bags, for real, like, you feel it in your shoulders, in your back, like, and not only just that, the emotional weight, too.
I want to talk about that, because, like, holding in your tears, that's not healthy.
Holding in your emotions in general.
It's not healthy.
You have to let it go.
You
have to release them.
Let that shit out of your throat, because you be getting that little ball in your throat. It be itching, and you just like...
And, like, when you crying and you're not letting it out, and you like...
Yeah.
It's because you're not breathing, and you're not letting that out.
You need to breathe.
You got to release all of that.
Breathing is that... It's like the river I just talked about. That's the energetic flow. Like, that's... That's how everything functions in your body.
Mm-hmm. And if that way is not clear, nothing else will be.
No. Then when you're not crying, I know it's TMI. I know some people, a lot of my clients, if they're having troubles crying, they're constipated sometimes. Mm. Because it messes up your natural ecosystem of your body.
Yeah.
It messes with everything. You probably can't have orgasms. Like, seriously, it messes with everything.
Because when I think about that, like, if I think about, like, not... being able to cry, as that seems like almost like dehydration, basically. Because if it results in like constipation or something like that, like, there's not enough hydration in physical and spiritual way. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not pouring into yourself properly. Yeah.
Yep.
Dang.
It's all connected.
Yeah, it's really all connected. So yeah. Like, letting go is not just letting go of the physical, but letting go of those emotions, and not, like, letting go in the way we just discussed, but more, like, letting them be free, releasing them.
It is
what
it is.
To flow how they need to flow, and for you to feel them how you need to feel them.
Yeah.
Because that goes into our next discussion point, which is getting to know yourself and reflection. You have to sit with your emotions.
Yeah, people be running from their emotions. I'm a Cancer. I can't avoid it.
I can't avoid it either. I've tried, but it doesn't... I can't. I'm such an emotional person. And so, like, when I went through what I went through in my past relationship, I learned for the first time how to sit with my emotions, acknowledge them, and I'd be able to identify them. Because something I think about often is like something my therapist told me when she showed me this chart about emotions. And it was like, yeah, it was like a basic chart of like anger, fear, and things. Yeah, and then with under that, it's like hurt, disappointment, like things like that. And so she was saying sometimes.
I think I have that on my phone.
I feel like she sent that to me, low key. It's like sometimes you are in a situation where you think you're angry.
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't even identified if you're angry when really you might be disappointed or hurt. Or sad, or whatever the case may be. And so we get into situations where we misidentify what our emotions are, and then we're not even able to really articulate them or communicate them for not even anybody else, but mainly yourself, to even understand like what this is, why it's showing up, and tracing it back to why you're feeling how you're feeling.
Yep.
And so being able to sit with how you feel, sit with your emotions, and identify them and acknowledge them, that's a way you take that control back.
Mm-hmm.
Because not knowing is allowing your emotions to control you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not demanding.
And then that's how you start projecting on people.
Exactly.
Or taking your frustration out on somebody that it has nothing to do with. Well, that's projection. But
right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm good.
But yeah. And I feel like it also, like, hinders you from being able to show up.
Because you're distracted with your emotions.
Exactly.
Feeling how you're feeling.
Because you're holding on to it.
It's bags. It's extra baggage.
Bags.
No, like, seriously, you hit it right on the nail. Like, you have to. But I feel like it's also, like, how do people find ways to be vulnerable with themselves to be able to identify that I'm feeling disappointed. I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling, you know, anxious. Like,
when I think about that, I think about our Black men.
I know. That's what I mean.
Because one thing about this podcast is, like, I don't want it just to be a podcast for the girls.
I don't either.
I want everybody to be able to receive something from this. And I feel like a common conversation that we have is with men is that they don't feel like they can.
Mm-hmm.
With our society, with the pressures that they have on them to show up in a certain way, to be the providers and all of these things, they don't have the room or the space to be able to show up in that way, because sometimes as women, we don't receive that.
Mm-mm.
Because it can be seen as weak, unattractive. And it's unfortunate that that's the case. Like, it's really unfortunate that that's the case. And granted, everybody is not the same, but for majority of women, it's like that.
I'll be honest. The only reason why I'm not in, or I've been in a place of not receiving it, if it's, like, dumped on me.
Yeah. I feel like there's a way to do things.
Yeah.
With anybody.
Yeah.
But I understand that, because nobody, first of all, nobody wants that. Even if it was a woman, I don't care, like. It's definitely important to ask if someone's in the space to, like, receive certain things.
I hit you up. I'm like, hey, what you doing? I'm just having a bad motherfucking day. This is what happened. And I'm just like, okay. And then it's like, I have to be your therapist or I don't care about you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I feel like we should make that a norm of asking people, are you in a space to hear how I feel? Mm-hmm. I know, granted, sometimes you go off. But, like, if we can try that, you know, I feel like it would help.
Yeah, and also, too, I think another aspect of it is vocalizing that you are a safe space.
Yeah.
Because I think that's important, and something that I've recently experienced, where it's like, people need to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially a man. Men need to hear that.
Yeah.
Because, like, I can show you that, but if you don't know that you can do that, you'll never show up in that way, so I could show you. So I feel like having those conversations and being honest about that will allow the room for somebody to create space for you.
And then, honestly, if you don't have those type of people in your life, Get therapy,
yeah.
100%.
And figure out how to find those people.
Yeah.
For real.
And if you don't have those people in your life, find new friends.
For real.
It's time.
If you can't have these conversations, if you can't talk to the people in your life, maybe it's time to find new people.
To be honest.
Honestly.
Yeah, you really do.
Yeah.
And don't just do it with, you know, somebody you just met and you just try to hook up with. Like,
exactly. Genuinely.
Invest from a in place some time.
Of really trying to grow and trying to create a better...
Platonic.
More like a better space for yourself and for your mental health.
Yeah, I agree.
And we want to talk about accountability, too. And triggers.
Yeah.
Because that comes with the reflection aspect of...
This is a pet peeve
getting to know yourself.
This is definitely a pet peeve. I feel like if I notice somebody lacks being able to take accountability, I kind of pull back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, the smallest thing.
Yeah.
Because,
like, you can't even put your ego to the side for a second to own up to...
Yeah.
How you messed up in this moment.
Yeah. And I was raised, my mom always, like, drilled in me, take accountability for your actions. Take accountability for your actions. Take accountability for your actions. And there's a stigma that women don't do this.
Yes.
But
I hear that,
but I don't see it. I'm gonna be honest. I feel like a lot of people, on both sides, are like, I'm never wrong. I hear that a lot. And it doesn't matter if it's whatever.
Right. I think that, like, it's so funny when I have those conversations because I'd be like, I don't agree. But it's, I don't agree because realistically, I don't be around those type of people who do that.
I don't either.
So it's like when, like, men are having conversations about, like, you know, women don't take accountability for this, that, and the third. Like, granted, nobody is ever doing one thing. Like, nobody is ever just, in general, women are not just all like that. But, like, I genuinely, I'm not around women, and I know you aren't either very often, where women aren't taking accountability for where they're messed up, because that's just not the type of people we surround ourselves with.
I just told y'all, that's a red flag.
We don't do that.
If I notice that in the smallest thing, I'm pulling back.
For real, and you're not, that's because we don't condone that type of behavior, I guess, in a way, because it's like, that's a part of just being real. Just be real. It's okay.
I feel like that's one of my non-negotiables, because it's like, it shows me that you're honest.
And that I can respect you.
Yeah. And like, it's like, you will be honest with me. And I never want to be in a situation where, like, there's a disagreement and I feel like I have to be the bad guy.
Right.
Or I have to take, like, the fall for everything. Like,
right.
No, it's...
A lot of times it's not the case.
It's not. Most of the time it's a misunderstanding.
Yeah, and there's both people at fault in that. And exactly. Like, the fact that somebody can't own up to their fault in something and they'll try to pin it on somebody else, like, that's problematic.
So I feel like the best way to, like, make sure you're taking accountability for your actions is just, like, really being open-minded. Like, really...
Seeing all perspectives.
Like, for instance, in our relationships, like, I can sit up here and say my ex did X, Y, and Z, but I know what I did wrong.
Exactly.
I know how I was showing up. Mm-hmm. I know what he can say that I didn't do. I know what past relationships can say. I just know. Because I know myself. Like, I know how I am when I'm upset. I know how I am when I'm emotional. Like, you have to be able to, like... really step outside of yourself
and see it from the receiver
and see it from the receiver's end, and like literally put your guard down and let that pride go, because
it'll only hold you back.
It really will. Like, a lot of the situations, a lot of the conflicts that you are in, it's not you and that person. It's not you against that person.
It's
a lot of time it's y'all against that problem. So if you look at it with that perception, it will be easier for you to recognize, like, how you messed up and how you showed up. And then also, don't look at it as, like, oh, I did this terrible, horrible thing. Like, I'm such a bad person. I think that's also why it's hard for people to take accountability for themselves, because they crucify themselves.
Yeah, like, there has to be a space for grace.
You have to give yourself grace.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world if you make a mistake. It's not the end of the world if you allowed yourself to get out of character and you curse somebody out and, you know, you had a moment. We all have moments.
I feel like if you come out of a situation, any situation, and you can't say one thing that you can fix or do better, there's a problem.
Yeah.
Like, you need to sit with yourself and be so for real.
And if you really... can't sit with yourself and just listen, talk to your mama or talk to somebody that knows you.
Yeah, talk to somebody that knows you.
And just ask them, how can I do better?
Right.
How can I just
be open to that criticism?
Yeah, it's that's just what it is. Taking constructive criticism,
because that's where the lack is. Not being able to do that, and yeah, not being able to hear that productive criticism, and that's something that we all have to be able to do and should be able to do. T'Challa, I'm sorry. Can I please have this? Thanks. And then next we have triggers.
Oh yeah, we.
Definitely. Triggers. So we feel like this also falls under reflection and getting to know yourself, because when you come out of a relationship that maybe wasn't the healthiest, you're naturally gonna have triggers. Yeah. And it may not be major things, it might be some minor things, but I know that one of my triggers in my past relationship was feeling like I couldn't communicate my feelings. And when I was in a space where I would get anxious about it, and I was somewhat shut down, honestly, because patterns before showed me that me expressing my feelings is a problem, and it will result in an argument, and I won't be heard, and it's always just me doing too much. When really, it was just that I was in a space that didn't honor that.
Yeah.
Didn't honor how I feel, or prioritize it in any way. And that's important to be able to identify, mm-hmm, when something triggers you, because there are going to be times where you're going to be triggered in life.
Yeah.
In certain things. And you have to be able to pause, to take a step back and identify, I'm triggered in this moment. This may not be something that they're personally doing to me. It's just something that reminds me. Yeah, you gotta peep the scene. This might not be something that they're personally trying to do to me or that they are doing to me. It's just a moment that's triggering me.
Exactly.
And being able to identify if that is the case, like sitting with that and processing it.
Yeah.
And showing up in a way that doesn't project onto other people.
Yeah, because you don't always have to communicate that you're triggered.
Yeah, you don't. It's for you. It's for your documentation.
Yeah, because I notice, not all the time, but sometimes, and I have to stop doing this myself, but, like, sometimes when you communicate that you're triggered, you're, like, passing that trigger onto somebody else to be aware of. And then you're, like, kind of unintentionally trying to make that person
aware
of your triggers, mm-hmm, and now they're gonna, like, you know, tiptoe around it, and then you have this expectation, okay, well, now they know my trigger, they're not gonna behave in this way to trigger me.
Well, really, but that's not their job. The takeaway is supposed to be, exactly. It's not their job to,
that's not how triggers work.
Yeah, to take on your trigger. It's your job to identify your trigger and work on it.
Exactly. And my dad always said, and this is what really helped me to stop doing that, was my dad was like, triggers aren't supposed to be there forever.
Right.
You're supposed to recognize it so that you can heal through it.
Exactly.
And not be triggered anymore.
Then it's no longer a trigger.
He says that if you're still being triggered, then you're not healed from that situation. Just because you're able to identify that you're being triggered, you're still being triggered.
Exactly.
So heal your triggers, you guys. Because now I feel like a lot of people, and this is a little bit of shade. Y'all, we got a list of triggers, and we just walking around with this big-ass binder.
Yeah, for real.
And it's like,
when you going to address it?
Yeah,
when is it going to no longer be a trigger? When we going to move forward? I want to speak on it a little bit more, actually, because I feel like that's something I'm so proud of myself for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been able to identify, granted, I still have some. there's some still there, but there's so many that, like, I've been able to identify, acknowledge, and actively work to rewrite the story of that trigger.
Same. Like the talking over for me.
Yeah, like the talking over.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, for me, it's my communication. And being able to communicate, like, in a situation or in a relationship that, like,
ow!
T'Challa!
Stop! He just came over and started biting my foot.
Being rude.
No, go away. Go. Go.
Stop it. Stop. this is not an, a personal attack to you or at you. This is just a moment to show you that this is something that still bothers you and still triggers you. And are you going to show up how you used to show up?
Yeah.
Or are you going to do something different this time?
Yeah, because that's when you rewrite it.
Exactly. And it, actively making that decision to do better and show up better than where I was at before is rewriting that trigger.
Mm-hmm. It's just, it's what you say. I feel like you explained that very nicely.
Yeah.
And well put.
Yeah.
Self-love and self-care. I feel like those are very important things, and I'm in that era right now.
Same. We're always in that era.
Yeah. You are always in that era. I feel like I was more so in my self-care era and not really in my self-love era.
Yeah.
And I feel like...
What's the difference?
Yeah. Because I feel like we confuse the two. So the difference for me is self-care could just be, like, doing facials regularly and, like, keeping up the maintenance of things. Whereas self-love is, like, genuinely, like, getting to the root of it. Like, what do you really enjoy? What brings you joy? What brings you pleasure?
Getting to really know yourself.
Yeah, like, really getting to know yourself and loving on yourself. Mm. And being comfortable in your own presence. And... you know, like, solitude and not isolation. Like, all of those things are, like, self-love.
I feel like...
taking care of yourself, working out, eating better.
Yeah, I feel like having or diving more into self-love allows you to know how to show up with self-care.
Yeah.
Because I feel like self-care doesn't come before self-love.
It doesn't, but I feel like we do put it first because I was raised, if I look good, I feel good.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of women, I don't know about the men. Yeah. I mean, men too.
Yeah.
You know, if you're raised in a family that cares about appearance and how you look, it's natural. It's like second nature. You have to look your best because that shows... how do you feel inside?
Right, your outside reflects your internal.
Exactly, but a lot of times, your outside can be a mask for how you really feel inside.
Exactly, and that could become a problematic thing because it's not really being addressed.
Mm-hmm.
It's just being covered. Yeah, I definitely think that's a great, like, segue out of getting to know yourself because as you get to know yourself, you're able to implement self-love because getting to know yourself is self-love and you have to do that because what are you without it? You can't show up in the world.
A bag of marbles.
You can't show up in the world how you really want to and in your fullest potential without knowing how to pour into yourself.
Yeah.
Because a part of reclaiming your power and reclaiming
your time
is being able to pour into yourself and not needing somebody else to do that for you.
Yeah, external validation.
External validation and understanding external validation is not self-love.
It's not.
It can't be. Like, that has to come from self.
You're always be looking for something external, something outside of yourself to validate yourself.
Exactly, and that's not God.
It's not.
It's not God.
God is within.
God is within, and the moment that
that's
you're
why you know we
outside,
take me like peace, God.
Peace, God. The moment you're seeking and searching outside of self for anything else than what you should be giving you. It's not God.
Yeah. That's why you shouldn't get in relationships thinking that you're going to get something out of it.
Thinking that you're going to be happier when you're in it. Because you're setting yourself up for failure. Because
if you don't have that within, you're not going to find that elsewhere.
Exactly. It's so important to perceive and view relationships as a bonus to your life.
It is.
It's an addition to your life. It's not the thing that should be making your life better.
It's like this. If you already have love, abundance, happiness, joy inside, you're going to match that and reflect that with somebody else.
Exactly.
But if you have nothing but insecurities, triggers, trauma, and self-hatred.
You're gonna manifest
that exact yeah. same thing.
And like, you're just gonna be attached. Reflections. For real, like, if you get into a relationship seeking something that you want somebody else to bring to you,
no.
you're gonna always, that's not love.
Mm-mm.
You're with them because you're attached to what you feel like you lack in self.
Mm-hmm.
Versus you bringing that to yourself already and then them just being an addition to it. Because at that point, it's love because you're choosing that.
I'm thinking about, like, Eartha Kitt was like, we all love this video. She's like,
what is compromising? Compromising for what? Compromising for what reason? To compromise for what? To compromise. What is compromise? A relationship is a relationship that has to be earned, not to compromise for. And I love relationships. I think they're fantastic. They're wonderful. I think they're great. I think there's nothing in the world more beautiful than falling in love. But falling in love for the right reason, falling in love for the right purpose, falling in love, falling in love. When you fall in love, what is there to compromise about?
Isn't love a union between two people? Or does Eartha fall in love with herself?
I think if you were to think about it in terms of analyzing, yes. I fall in love with myself, and I want someone to share it with me.
I fall in love with myself, so, and I want someone to share it with me. Because
literally.
It's like, you have to, it's an addition, one, but it's like, you really are, you attract what you are.
Mm-hmm. And if you feel like you lack, you're going to attract that lack to show you that you're lacking it.
And this is just a little hoodoo tip, just to put it into more perspective so you guys can really understand. This is why we drill to not do love spells.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have that love within, you are going to attract chaos.
Yeah.
If your love life with yourself is chaotic,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to attract genuine compassion, like that romance, like the love that we see in movies, if mm-hmm. you don't have that with yourself.
And some people don't even have the awareness to understand that.
Exactly.
And so, like, when you do certain things and you think that you want to have this, and you're going to have this life, and you're going to have this relationship, but you don't even feel that way with self,
no,
you're never going to attract that. You're always going to attract a reflection of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that reflection is always going to show you that you feel like you're lacking. And until you identify that, it's going to keep becoming the cycle.
Exactly.
Until you break it.
Exactly.
And that's why self-love is important. To break that cycle.
So what are some ways of self-care that mm-hmm. you have added to your daily practice that mm-hmm. you have developed in your journey of self-love?
I think that definitely praying at my altar.
Hmm.
Sitting at my altar in the morning, talking to my ancestors. An altar is a space for me to... My altar is my space for me to talk to my ancestors, meditate, ground myself, and just be one with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Be one with God. Be one with my spirit. Just be one with everything and just be in the stillness of life.
Ashe.
And bring myself peace and grounding.
Yeah.
That's where my altar is. And I sit there in the morning and I meditate or I talk out what I need to talk out. Sometimes I just do my little brain dump. What's mm-hmm. on my mind as I wake up, praying, and yeah, that's like one of the biggest things that I've implemented, especially shifting out of that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing is that, like, my ancestors don't play
Mm-mm.
about me.
True. Oya don't play about her.
For real. And I just feel like I've been shown so many times because of them that, like, you're capable. Mm-hmm. And there's times where I forgot that or couldn't bring myself to, like, remember that. And I just sit there sometimes and I'm like, y'all have shown me over and over again what I can do.
I had this moment yesterday.
Literally.
Yeah.
Like, y'all showed me over and over again what I can do. And there are still times where I'm, like, questioning. Mm-hmm. And it makes you realize, like, it's really a constant ebb and flow of, you know, the ups and downs and the highs and lows. But, like, that is something that I implemented because they're my grounding point.
It helps you remember.
It helps me remember. Yeah. And it brings me back to self because they are me.
Yeah.
Everything is me. Mm-hmm. And so that... And, what else have I done that's, like, that I brought in, like, since that time? That's self-care. Oh, my journal.
Journaling.
I don't journal every day. I've learned to just do it when I feel like I need to, because I feel like sometimes, like, when I put too much pressure around, like, routine and stuff in that way, when it comes to, like, my spiritual practices, it feels like I have to do something. Mm-hmm. And so I journal when I feel like I need to journal, because there are some things, like I said, I do brain dumps. You could do brain dumps when you journal, but I do that at my altar. So, like, there are some times where I'd rather talk something out for myself and get it out there versus writing it down. Because it feels a little... Sometimes journaling can feel confining. Huh?
You sing.
Yeah. Yeah, journaling can sometimes feel like I'm put in the box and I can't really express myself how I want. So talking it out, and sometimes that may lead to, like, me crying or needing to get emotion out. Because sometimes an emotion is so intense that I have to talk it out so that I can release it in that way.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's a level of self-care that has definitely helped me. And then also recently learning to take Sundays, because you taught me that, learning to take Sundays for myself because I work a lot. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, like, taking Sundays for self has been something that I've been learning to implement. And and then also, like, creating my morning routine for myself.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's self-love.
Before I start my day, to give myself time with self before I give anybody else anything of myself.
Self-care, I just thought about this while you're talking. Self-care should be an investment in yourself.
Yeah, it is an investment in yourself. And you don't know how to make that the right investments until you learn who you are.
Yeah.
And you implement that self-love.
Oh. Spirit talking through us right now. Mm-hmm. For me, I would say it's journaling. Like, I'm different from you. I have to write. Mm-hmm. I have to write every day. Because I feel like because I channel so much, mm-hmm. Spirit's always talking. And I want to remember. Not only for myself, but for what I post and how I help people. Mm-hmm. So I write every day.
Yeah.
Even if I just write, I don't feel like doing nothing. I just want to say something. Like, seriously, I just write something.
Yeah.
Routines, 100%. Like, I have to have routines. Not only just because for me, but also for my ADHD. Like, I need routines to feel like... It just makes me feel good. It makes me feel like I'm accomplishing something. Mm-hmm. And it just makes me... know what I need to do. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that key to opening the door for the new day.
It gives you the control.
It definitely, excuse me. It definitely gives me that control of my life and my day. And just self-care. My motto is, if I look good, I feel good. So pampering myself, making sure my nails are done, my hair, my mm-hmm. eyebrows, everything, like,
yeah.
Smelling good. I, like, if I'm having a bad day, I will wear a bomb-ass outfit so that I can feel good and look good, and I will stare at myself in the mirror for, like, hours and just, like...
Yeah.
Because that's just... I'm a girly girl. I want to feel like a girly girl. I want to dress up like a girly girl. Like,
yeah.
That makes me feel good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Eating, rewarding myself with like good nourishing food that feels good.
Oh yes. Yoga,
like doing yoga constantly and finding new hobbies is self care for me. Dancing, mm-hmm. I like me and Brianna. We love dancing.
Mm-hmm. We gonna dance if we don't do nothing else.
Yeah, we will dance. We gonna
dance.
Even if we're dancing to no music.
Literally.
We're going to dance. But just those little things. And yeah. Spending time with my girls, that's self-care.
Yeah.
It's therapeutic.
You definitely hit it on the head with the nourishing meals. Like,
yeah.
My diet has just changed. So, if y'all don't know, which y'all probably wouldn't if y'all don't know us, yeah. We're vegan.
We're vegan.
Yeah, we're plant-based, and, like, my diet has changed so drastically mm-hmm. this past year and a half, and, like, I'm so grateful for it because, like, the way that my relationship with food is a direct reflection of the love I have for me. Like, it's a direct reflection.
Yeah, because it's what you're putting in your body.
It's what I'm putting in my body, and what I put in my body
what you're consuming.
Is what gives me the everything fuel. The yeah. fuel and the results of whatever I'm looking for.
That's true.
External. It all starts with what you're putting in your body and in your mind.
Yeah.
And that is like, that's been one of the biggest things that I am so proud of myself for, because like that it wasn't easy, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It wasn't easy, but it was an investment. Mm-hmm. And it's a daily investment and a daily decision that I make because of the self-love that I have for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking up and showing up for yourself.
Yeah, I'm learning to do this.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
I feel like when I was younger, I did it with ease because mm-hmm. that's just naturally who I am.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, just growing up and being around different people from different backgrounds and environments, it silenced me because I want it to be liked mm-hmm. and I want it to be a part of, you know, what everybody was doing, that I silenced myself to conform.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the moment, I know exactly what that moment was. And I'll go more into that on a different episode. But there was a moment when I was 16 and I realized that I needed to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like ever since that moment, I go back and forth with myself of finding my voice and losing my voice and finding my voice and losing my voice. But not really silencing myself completely, mm-hmm. but more so like dimming my light.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, you know what? All chains are off. I'm never dimming my light or silencing myself for any freaking body.
Yeah.
Because
it does more harm and damage to you.
It does more harm. It's like the stopping yourself from crying. It has the same effect.
It's the same
thing. The moment you feel something and the moment you feel like you need to address something or speak up for yourself and you shut your mouth and you keep your lips closed, mm-hmm. you take your power away.
Yeah.
And you're constantly thinking in your head, I do this. This is why I stopped doing that. Mm-hmm. I should have said that.
Right.
Why didn't I say yeah. that?
And that will eat you up.
It will eat you up. That's where that shame and guilt will come from. Mm-hmm. And that is heavy.
Mm-hmm.
It's as heavy as a heartbreak.
Yeah. And I also want to talk about, like, not only speaking up and showing up for yourself, but how to do that. Because yeah. I feel like, I'm not going to say right or wrong, but there's beneficial and unbeneficial ways to do it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like,
is this diplomacy? Are you speaking of diplomacy? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess I am, because it's like,
oh, it's like what I was talking to my friend about, what I was just telling you about, when he was like, I need to get my money back. And I was like, it's how you say it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not, it's not even what you're saying, but it's how you're saying it.
Yeah.
Because there's a way to show up for yourself and speak up for yourself, and not necessarily a polite way, but in
assertive
way.
Yeah.
Assertive and respectful way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's like, you did this, da 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 da, respectfully. Like, respectfully, it ain't no beef.
I ain't gonna hold you. I need my money.
For real. Yeah. Like, I feel like this is like the second or third time.
Somebody said you gotta talk to people in your HR voice.
Yeah, you do.
You have to talk to people in your HR voice.
You do, because it's not even so much about, like, it. An aspect of it can be about how they receive it.
But you can't control that.
But you can't control that. So that's why I was going to say the biggest aspect of it is self.
Yeah, because
it's a reflection of you.
It's a reflection of you, and it allows you to maintain reclaiming your energy.
Yes.
Because, like, people got to understand, I get it. They disrespected you.
Right. But it's like, you don't got to lash out in.
You're going to put all of that energy that mm-hmm. you could be putting to something else on cursing this person out.
Right.
That's you when it, that's self-care.
You can just learn how to articulate yourself.
Yeah. So you don't have to get out of character and out your body.
You learn how to articulate yourself in a way that allows you to express how you feel, mm-hmm. what your problem is, with what happened, and how you want to move forward with something.
And that takes patience.
It does.
That takes a lot of patience.
Yeah, yeah. You have to give yourself grace, but give yourself grace and hold yourself accountable.
So now I have a question. Mm-hmm. How do you find boundaries within grace? Because, you don't want to overextend yourself by giving grace mm-hmm. to where you're just, like, allowing people to walk over you, or you're just, like, not speaking up for yourself.
I feel so, like...
Yeah.
I think, let's just say, for example, having a conversation with somebody, and they say something that I feel is disrespectful, and I communicate, well, I don't really like that how you said that or that you said that, and I'm bringing it to your attention because da-da-da, and I want us to continue to have a friendship, so I need you to not do that moving forward. But it happens. It's a challenge.
Sit down! Sit down!
But it happens again.
Yeah.
I feel like if it happens again, it's a decision that you gotta make. For yourself.
Picking and choosing your
battles. Yeah, it's like I feel like it depends on the situation. You gotta pick and choose your battles. But I feel like it depends on the seriousness of the situation, what you're willing and not willing to take. Like, I think it depends on, all of that stuff. But as far as, like, grace with self, like, I think about that in a way that's, like, I had a conversation about progression. Mm-hmm. My gallery show is in progress, right? Yeah. Because taking the word process out of the vocabulary and replacing it with progress.
Why do you want to take process out?
Because when you think about process and when people discuss the word process, it's like, oh, it's okay. It's a part of the process. It's just the process. It's easy to write things off and justify when you're not doing better versus seeing it as this is progression towards more. I'm in progress. I'm doing this because I'm in progress. This is a moment of stillness, but I'm in progress. Versus, it's just the process. It's the process. I'm sitting still, but it's the process. So it's fine. It's the process. But when you change the vocabulary to progression, your mentality and your subconscious will always see it as progression versus stagnation. So when I have this conversation, I don't personally feel like the word process is negative.
Yeah, it depends on the...
But I do think that it's easy...
How you use it.
Yeah, I do think it's easy to use that word to justify when you're not moving forward. Or when you don't perceive yourself as moving forward. So, I say that. I say that to say, when I think about grace, I have a different perception of grace now because I don't think like that anymore. It's more like I see things as moving forward always and progressing always. And so when I give myself grace for things, like, it's a level of taking accountability mm-hmm. for where you could have done better.
Because don't enable yourself.
Right. Don't enable yourself. But also recognizing when you've done better than you did before that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like you can't extend grace to yourself. I'm going to speak for myself. I can't extend grace to myself for something if I feel like I didn't show up in a better way.
when you didn't
what I did give at the last
everything
time.
That you did.
Exactly.
I mean, I can understand you, but what if that day you just really can only give 30%?
Then that's about taking accountability for that. Or being transparent about that. Maybe that's the better word. Transparency about where you are.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if you don't... Like, for example, the situation... I had a conversation yesterday. There was a disagreement between me and one of my best friends about showing up in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
I take accountability for not doing that. And it's like... I give myself grace because I didn't know how to do that. So I had to give myself grace because I can't beat myself up for not knowing something.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't take accountability for not considering somebody else's emotions in a moment and just assuming something. You know what I'm saying? So like, I don't know. I think it depends on the situation.
It does. I was thinking more so, like, for instance, some days, like, I'll wake up and instead of doing, like, a full yoga routine, I'll just do sun salutations. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, like, I feel like grace and accountability or transparency, like, it shows up.
It's a spectrum.
It's a spectrum. So, like, I feel like it depends on, like, in which way we're discussing it or talking about it.
I feel like y'all get what we say. We will
rant about this forever, and I do not want to.
I feel like the next one is pretty good to talk about. Settling, not settling. That's something that I feel like a lot of people fall victim to because you don't want to be the bad guy. You don't know how to speak up for yourself. You don't know how to... And that's where all these things that we're talking about comes into play because in order to really not settle, you really have to know yourself. And
you have
know
to go
that
through all of these aspects.
You have to.
In order to not settle.
And I'm sure there's more that we probably didn't touch on, but like, once you start speaking up for yourself, you won't settle.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and then it's also like, when you do these things, regardless of where it is and how it shows up, you're not going to settle. There's a lot of people that don't take accountability, but they practice hella self-love, mm-hmm. and they're not going to settle.
For real.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to... I saw this video, this girl was saying, she was like, women have to have the audacity.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be audacious, because men will literally have the audacity and mm-hmm. just do whatever. You know what I'm saying? But we have to be comfortable in doing that and showing up
mm-hmm.
and being that person that makes people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that's something I had to, like, come to terms with is I can make you uncomfortable without speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So why am I silencing myself by not speaking up for myself because I'm afraid to make you uncomfortable?
Exactly.
I could do that by sleeping, by you just going on my Instagram and just making up whatever assumptions about me. It's something I can't control.
Right? It's out of your control.
So I'm just going to show up as me.
Mm-hmm. And you have to just do that.
Exactly.
And whoever's not okay with it, that shows you
that's
that
their business.
Not supposed to be there.
That's their business. But like not settling is like, why do all this work and advocate for yourself and... You know, love on yourself and literally work on yourself.
Just to turn around and do something.
Just
for somebody
to turn
else.
Around and be complacent. And just
else.
Like compromise
mm-hmm.
for something that you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point?
It doesn't reflect you in your entirety.
Exactly. It doesn't reflect you. So mm-hmm. your value and your worth.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like settling is telling yourself that you're not worth
more.
This. You're not worth more.
Mm-hmm.
You're not.
You're worth what you can get.
Exactly.
And it's not about what you can get. It's about deciding what you want.
Settling is a direct reflection of how you feel about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm worth the moon and high.
Okay.
Period.
For sure.
So that self-confidence, that's something I did want to speak on. Affirming greater and affirming just... abundance, everything over yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Having affirmations, either saying affirmations or just speaking that into like your daily practice vocabulary when you communicate with people.
Mm-hmm.
Like affirming those things over yourself is also not settling.
Yeah.
Being intentional is not settling.
Because mm-hmm. you're just making the decision.
Exactly. It's a daily practice.
Yeah.
It's a daily practice.
Mm-hmm. I feel like this just goes into, like, the importance of relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. Whatever that is, whatever your higher power is.
Whatever that shows up for you. For us, it may look different for us than it looks for other people. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. It's just, it's proven, it's shown that having a relationship with God is a part of foundation.
It is. I feel like Dr. Burke off of Grey's Anatomy puts it in perspective in one episode. Because, what's his girlfriend's name? What's her name?
Avery? Dr. Avery?
Yeah. No, is that...
Dr. Avery, their last name is Avery.
Right. I think she, he had a client, and this was... Well, not their client, their patient. And it was Dr. Burke's, like, favorite, like, composer or something.
Oh, Christina. I'm tweaking.
Yeah, that Christina, sounds like Dr. Asian Avery. I was thinking of
the main doctor, the one who's
a whole hospital. I know you're talking about. But Dr. Burke was, like, she was worrying. The premise was it was, like, they were just, he was stressed about, like, not being able to give the composer his gift back. Mm-hmm. And he was just very anxious and had anxiety about it and just worrying. And Christina started worrying too. Mm-hmm. And just all these what ifs just kept popping up in her head and she just couldn't let it go. Mm-hmm. And he was like, that right there is why I have to believe in a higher power. Because if I focus so much on the what ifs, it's going to drive me crazy.
Yeah.
You got to let it go. Yep. And it was just like, damn.
And then it's like not even like, it's like not even the what ifs, but it's more so like the lack of the optimism.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what if it goes well?
Exactly.
What if it's great? Because that's what pulled me out of my situation. Mm-hmm. What if I can't exist without this man? What if I can do this and I can show up for myself in this way and I can be by myself and I can be comfortable with me and I can, instead of what if I can't do this and what if I don't need somebody like this and what if I don't, like, the moment you just shift that,
yeah,
you start manifesting.
Faith is like the possibilities.
The possibilities.
It's giving you opportunities. It's giving you... It's showing you that you can have everything that you want.
Exactly. And not even like what he said about it shows me that I have to believe in a higher power because if I do this, it's more like the fact that I'm thinking like this shows you that there's a higher power.
Exactly.
Because
it's infinite possibilities.
It's infinite possibilities. And to say, what if this negative thing happens, you're thinking of the negative things that can manifest, but you can easily change it to the positive things that can manifest as well.
If something wrong can happen, something right can happen.
Exactly. If you think something wrong can happen, mm-hmm. something right can definitely happen. Mm-hmm. And so often we put so much energy into the negative mm-hmm. instead of the positive.
And we're not saying this from like a toxic positive perspective. We're just saying that
for pulling yourself out of a situation you can't see.
Yeah, and don't look at the glass half empty.
Look at it as half full.
That's pretty much what we're saying.
Yeah, because there's often, like, when you're in a situation like a breakup. For me, I was in a situation where, like, I couldn't see. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what my life was going to look like after that. For real. Like, I didn't know what my life was going to look like after the situation. Mm-hmm. And I had to believe that I was going to expand and I was going to mm-hmm. grow and I was going to be better than I am in that moment. And I was going to learn and be a better version of myself and just all of the positive things. Because before that, I was only thinking, what if I can't exist without this person? Or, like, what is that going to look like? Am I going to find somebody else? Like, instead of flipping it, and I did. And the moment that I did, I saw the immediate shift in my reality. Mm-hmm. The immediate shift when I decided to pour into myself in that way.
For me, it was the opposite. I was thinking about
what's going to happen to him if I leave. Mm. Like, I think I was caring more so about, like, his well-being. Because I always know I'm going to be okay. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I want more than okay. Now I want more than okay. Right. Like, it was for me, I had to put myself first. You can have more than this. I feel like I didn't know I could have more than what I had.
And, like, you don't understand. Mm-mm. It's, like, one thing to think you can, but, like, to really know that you can is a whole nother thing.
Because I had it before him. For real. And I always and it's like thought just about forget. That. And now I have more. I'm 10 times better. Faith allows you to dream and to just
think of the endless possibilities. Yeah. And manifest and create the endless possibilities.
That spirit, faith and spirit is all the same.
It's all the same.
It's infinite. Reclaiming your power is just remembering who you are and what matters to you and what if like if you were making a clay version of yourself, what would you add to this? Mm-hmm. This thing that is reclaiming your power.
I also think that reclaiming your power is being okay with letting go mm-hmm. of the old versions of yourself and realizing that sometimes you got to start over on that clay person because it doesn't look like how you want it to look.
And that's okay.
And that's okay because that's a part of reclaiming your power.
Mm-hmm. Like how I was just saying, I want to say this before we end it. Mm-hmm. We were talking about earlier today, I was telling Brianna how I was always thinking about like the person I was before I got in my relationship. And now that I'm out of the relationship, I realize I'm not the person I was before. She doesn't exist. She doesn't serve me. We don't have the same values. We don't have the same opinions. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm her times 10.
Exactly.
Times 10. And you have, and I was just telling my mom, you have to be okay with starting over mm-hmm. and changing and rebranding yourself over and over and over and over again. As many times as Instagram gets a new update.
Because literally we do it with our clothes all the time. So why do you think you can't do it with your being?
Exactly.
You do it with your hair.
Exactly.
You do it with your socks.
Change it.
Change it.
Don't it's cut your fine. Hair if you feel like cutting your hair. Think about that.
Yeah, sit on that one.
Sit on that. Every time I do it impulsively, I regret it. But I wouldn't say regret. That's a strong word. But I rethink it. But be open to change. Just be open to change. Be open to receiving and transformation.
Transformation is inevitable. Yeah. Our life, our entire existence is transformation.
Again, if you stop learning, you're dead.
If you stop growing, you're dead. If you stop breathing, you're dead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're going a little morbid. But yeah, this was a great episode.
Great episode. We hope that you guys received something from this episode and you were able to take something beneficial away. If not, share with your sister.
Maybe she will. Brother. Or he will. Or they will.
Exactly. Share with your cousin or your next door neighbor. Go make a friend.
We will be posting every other Sunday.
Every other Sunday.
Definitely tune in. We love the support we've been getting. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, this has been very fun and different for us.
Yeah, we got stopped once. Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah,
we that did. Was real cool.
We definitely did. But I think that yeah, I'm just excited.
I am too.
I'm so excited for more episodes.
I feel like ever since we dropped it, it's just been like, this is what we were supposed to be doing.
Yeah, because we have these conversations all the time.
We didn't talk about why we got into the podcast. Let's talk about that before we end.
Oh, yeah. Well, I feel like we got into this podcast because I feel like as at our age, to be in our early 20s, like, we have a lot of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the experiences that we had, can be learned from, just like anybody's experiences, and can be used and implemented into somebody else's lives.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we learned some real, real things.
Yeah.
To be so young. And, yeah, we wanted to share that with y'all and have, like, a community within that.
Yeah.
And have these open dialogue conversations that we don't receive from podcasts that we listen to.
Yeah. I felt like our girl talks were so deep.
Yeah.
And so, like...
profound.
Profound.
That they had to be shared.
We had to share it. It would be selfish. We're not selfish people. We needed to share it. We were just like... And then...
the people could learn from this.
People come to us for, like, advice and counsel.
All the time.
I do readings. Oh, if you want to. But we just felt like... We needed to use our platforms and give back in some way.
Yeah, in a way that was authentic and genuine to who
us.
We are.
Exactly.
And this is like a perfect, this is the perfect reflection of us.
Yeah.
So.
And then it's like, sometimes we're not going to have the answers. We're going to be learning with y'all.
Authenticity, we're exactly. real. Like, if we don't know something or we feel like we can't speak to something.
I don't have a problem telling you
I will
don't
say
know.
That. Because if I don't know, I don't know. I can't just pull something out of my butt. So.
That's real.
That's real. So, yeah. We hope that you guys are able to connect with our authenticity.
Yes.
And our realness.
Because that's all you're going to get.
That's all you're going to get. Follow us on all of our social media platforms, which is Instagram.
That just made me choke.
Follow us on Instagram at @when_you're_ready. Podcast.
Yeah. T'Challa finally went to sleep.
Yeah, he definitely went to sleep. And leave comments under our posts for like what you guys may want us to talk about, want to hear more about, want us to expand more on, and we can't wait to drop the next episode.
Oh, and also in our link tree we do have a donation site to donate to us for like more equipment. We do plan on holding
going
more spaces
visually, too.
Visually, all of those things will go towards the podcast, and it will really help.
Yeah,
to show us support and just
for sure
assist us with bettering.
Coming out of our pockets.
Yeah, with just like building the community and having the resources that we need to like
expand and do what we want to do for the community.
Exactly. So
yeah.
Thank you all. Peace and love.
Peace.